First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
What's happening? Special Thursday edition here of the BS Report. Sorry we didn't get to this earlier in the week, but we had a couple scheduling conflicts. It's always fun when you have some scheduling conflicts on the podcast. Anyway, we have Cousin Sal coming up with the Week 7 lines. But first, as you know, America's favorite running segment of the 2007 baseball season was Johnny, Are You Worried Yet? Where I called my Yankee fan buddy, Jacko, a.k.a. Johnny, to see if he was worried about the Yankees. The Yankees were eliminated last week, but you know what? America wanted them back, so we're going to call them at work.
Hello, John O'Connell.
Johnny.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
We're starting a new segment this week because America missed you.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I got at least 5 emails about it.
Really? Well,
as far as I'm concerned, that represents all of America.
Quite a groundswell.
Here's the new segment. It's called Johnny, Should I Be Worried Yet? As we're recording this, it's a Thursday afternoon.
It is.
The Red Sox are down 3-1 to the Cleveland Indians. And we have Josh Beckett pitching against CeCe Sabathia tonight.
Indeed.
So what are your thoughts? Should I be worried?
Well, I wish I could say that you should be, because I really want the Red Sox to be eliminated in a bad way. I'm really on the Cleveland bandwagon now just because of my hatred of the Red Sox.
You're so petty.
I really am.
That's the thing. One of the things I love and hate about you.
Thank you very much.
Is you're just abject pettiness.
Right. You'd expect nothing less from me, I hope.
Yes.
However, Sabathia has looked awful this postseason. There was a lot of whining in the paper the other day about his 240 innings, which have only gotten more since last Friday.
Right.
And you have Josh Beckett, who's been the ace of the American League this year, going.
Right.
And
you know, the thing about Sabathia is he has thrown a lot of innings for a 21st century starting pitcher, but he still hasn't thrown enough innings to match his weight.
Exactly.
And I think they should be concentrating on the fact that this guy's a good 25 pounds overweight, and maybe that's why he's breaking down.
That's right. They used to
How about talk, a Pilates program,
They used
CC?
To always talk about, like, hitters, you know, hitting their weight. How about pitchers pitching their weight in innings, you know? Yeah. It's a good call.
Yeah.
It's a good point. I mean, you look
Thank
at
you.
Bartolo Colon and all these other guys, like, a treadmill might not be out of order, you know?
Yeah, the fat starting pitcher really doesn't have a long lifespan in general.
Exactly.
We have a lot of evidence to support this.
Now, I mean, I guess you could make the argument, well, he's due for a good start.
Yeah.
But Beckett's been great. And I don't know. I just think with the whole, you know, the Manny comments and everything, everything's like pointing in one direction. When that happens, usually the other thing happens. So everybody thinks, oh, Cleveland's going to take care of him. It wouldn't shock me to see the Red Sox win another 10-3 game tonight.
My only thing is, watching this series, I just feel like the last three games, the Indians, you can just see when one of the teams is getting all the breaks and they...
True.
Everything just seems to be pointing in their direction. And that the classic, you know, that the Cabrera hitting that little weak double play grounder that Wakefield hits with his glove and knocks down for an infield single.
Exactly.
That, like, epitomized the whole series. Like, we've been cranking these line drives right at their outfielders, and they're hitting these dink singles that are going through. And I'm not saying that the Red Sox are a better team. I just think that in the baseball playoffs, those are the kind of things that happen when you win.
Right.
And they're happening. They've been happening for the Indians now for two straight series. And
the drop,
after a while.
The drop foul pop by the great Kevin Youkilis. And, you know, the Red Sox have hit into some line drives, too, you know.
It's a lot of them. At least like 7 or 8.
Absolutely.
In fact, Youkilis, in game 2, Youkilis at the end of the, I think it was the 10th inning when he had that long at bat against
Betancourt.
And he cranked that pitch.
It was a good hit, right.
For some reason, Grady Sizemore was playing right there.
Exactly.
Left center.
So, there is that Team of Destiny feel of things, but I don't know. I think if the Sox win tonight behind Beckett and they get back to Fenway, as I am all too well aware, much to my chagrin, the Sox have come back from much worse predicaments than this.
I know, but I'm really worried about the fans that we have going to these playoff games, because everybody just keeps telling me how hard it is to get tickets.
Right.
And it's kind of turned into what happened with the Celtics in the late 80s, where we used to have this great crowd, but now it's like the rich lawyer in the Wellesley Law Firm whose son is 8 and he's just getting in the Red Sox and wants to go, so he gets the 4 box seats. You know, it's like those people are going now, and the crowd on Saturday night just sucked. And I was gonna, you know, I was trying to be diplomatic about it and claiming it was because it was cold and they stopped serving beer. But whatever, that was a terrible crowd. It was awful.
The blue collar guy from Southie can't afford to go to Red Sox games anymore.
Yeah, we don't have enough Murph and Sully's.
There are no enough Murph and Sully's. That's right. The guys from Sully's Tap have to watch the game at Sully's Tap. They can't go to the game, unfortunately, anymore.
They should
throw
figure out a way.
To players and scream obscenities.
They should figure out a way to keep a head count.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, there's just different categories, and they make sure they have enough of the Murph Sully Fitzy types to balance out the white collar.
That's exactly right.
I couldn't – in the 10th inning of that game, game two, they did not stand up and do a Manny Manny chant. How is it possible? He's up there. He's the game. He's the game-winning run at home plate, and we don't have a Manny chant in a playoff game.
Well, not that Manny would know what was going on anyway, but it would have been nice from the crowd. It would have been nice from the crowd to hear that, I'm sure.
Now, hey, my biggest fear is that the Red Sox will win tonight, and then they'll win Game 6, because I don't think Schilling's capable of pitching 2 bad playoff games in a row.
I told you in an email he's going to bring out the fake bloody sock again for old time's sake. It'll get the crowd going.
It'll be. Yeah, maybe he'll like try to slice his own ankle to get it.
For the second time.
But here's my fear. We win tonight, we win Saturday, and then the national treasure going on Sunday. He's basically a Section 8 at this point. I mean, he would have been discharged from the military.
Has he been moved from his locker yet? He was sitting in front of it for several hours after the game, reportedly. So, yeah, he's a train wreck.
He moves here. He's got to deal with a whole new culture.
He's got this
300 Japanese media members following him every time he like goes into the bathroom.
True.
And then the hitters are tougher. He's like getting squeezed on every call, and I think he's just lost his mind.
Well, it could well be, but you know, all I keep hearing from them is he pitched in that high school tournament, Bill. That's the equivalent of the major leagues. Haven't you heard about the Hanshei high school tournament televised throughout Japan? You have no idea what the pressure's like over there.
Well,
give me a freaking break, Daisuke. What a bust.
I think the big winner in this whole thing was the Cebu Lions.
Yeah, they got to pocket $50 million, right?
What a deal that was. They're probably laughing as we speak.
Absolutely. Not to mention that, you know, Daisuke is only 27, but he's thrown a quarter of a million innings in his major league Japanese baseball career. That might come back to haunt you at some point.
Why am I laughing?
I don't know, because otherwise you would cry, so...
It's my worst nightmare, a game. I don't want to say I'd rather just have them lose tonight, but I just think it would be agonizing to go 3-3, game 7, and Dice comes out with that weird look he has on his face that he's had since about July, where it just, like, he just looks like he's crapped in his pants and nobody's changed it yet. I don't know what, this guy had this aura about him in April. And you know, I'm comparing him to the Karate Kid 2 villain, and what happened to that guy? Where did he go?
Yeah, he disappeared. As much as I would love it if Daisuke could just implode and somehow J.D. Drew and Julio Lugo could all be involved just for perfect symmetry in Game 7, I don't know. I think if it gets back to Fenway, I just think if you let the Red Sox up off the mat, I just think it's not going to end well for Red Sox haters everywhere.
Well, I've known you for 20 years, and never have you more blatantly tried to do a reverse jinx than right now. It's really embarrassing.
I'm telling you, it's not pseudo. I really believe that. I told everybody I knew in 2004, even after the 19-8 game, when the Red Sox won Game 4, I said they're going to come back. I told everybody that, and everybody said, "Oh, you're just pessimistic," which is true. But in that case, I turned out to be right. I'm telling you, you can't let the momentum shift like that. Cleveland needs to be out with their pseudo white hankies waving them around tonight, and crowd needs to be into it. Sabathia's got to pitch well.
I got to ask you about the white hankies. Could you ever see a scenario where you're rooting for one of your favorite teams standing with a bunch of people and waving a white towel?
No, because it's so forced and just, I mean, it's not natural. It doesn't arise organically where the fan started it. It's like some corporate handout. You know, it's got to be sponsored by some radio station or the team or something.
Right.
And it's like, it's such a ripoff of the terrible towel thing from the Steel Curtain. And didn't they have like the Homer dome hankies for the Twins and everything? It's like, and the A's had those thunderstick things. Or, I mean, not the A's, the Angels.
The
had
Angels.
Those thundersticks.
Those actually like served the purpose because they kind of freaked out the other team.
Yeah, the
bit.
Noise was. I guess the noise was good.
I don't.
The
what
per- thing, like.
Yeah, what purpose do white towels serve?
Not to mention that white waving white is always the sign of surrender. Like, couldn't they have like Indians
right.
red or something? You know.
I don't get it when the Clippers made their run. And you know, I don't care about the Clippers, but
right.
we were going to those playoff games, and they were handing out like these red towels, and these people were waving them, and. I just really felt ridiculous just even being there not waving the towel. I felt sorry for everybody.
It's such a reach of a team that doesn't have like real fans that are like have been into the team forever, you know.
I thought they did have real fans. That's what I don't get. I thought the Indians had like this tortured fan base of
right.
you know, that was captured in Major League and that they've been around for 80 years or whatever. Like,
yeah.
How did they get to the stage where they're waving white towels?
Yeah, I don't know. Because everywhere in Major League sports now, there's no, you know, they've priced out their blue-collar fans, too. So those are all some kind of corporate hacks that are sitting there in the stadium. And they're like, which one is Sizemore again? You know?
I hate it, Johnny.
Yeah,
you know what's funny, though, is I remember the Celtics – when we used to go to the games, me and my dad, when I was like 8, he got me one of those green Celtic fingers.
Yeah.
Those one that we're number one fingers. And I used to hold
finger.
It up and point it during the timeouts and stuff.
Right.
And I think somehow that is that joy that kids felt with that kind of stuff has now transferred to adults. And I'm not sure why.
No, I don't know. It's a different world now. It's everything's way too expensive. And You don't have like the regular Joe Sixpack fan anymore. It's unfortunate.
Do you ever see a day where the Red Sox fans or the Yankee fans would wave towels?
No, that's just it. Never.
Yeah, I don't either.
Never.
Although after seeing that Game 2 crowd, I'm not willing to rule it out for the Fenway fans.
Maybe they can wave their pink hats.
That's and the green ones.
Yes.
It's really now. I gotta ask
you.
Well,
your team has a big green mascot and a dating show now, so really, your fans are capable of anything. And when the Yankees open a new stadium next year, let's face it, they're capable of anything too. So.
Yeah, I guess this is where sports is going.
Pretty much.
Damn, I was just gonna ask you something.
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah, I hate when you interrupt my train of thought like that.
I'm sorry.
Oh, we always had the joke. We've had it for 10 years. I thought I'd give you the honors if there's a Colorado-Cleveland series. Give me the promo.
Well, this started, I think, when we were in college, and they would Fox or whatever channel, CBS,
oh, yeah.
would promo it, and they would just have, like, the marquee players, you know, and it would be like, the NBA Finals on CBS or whatever, and they'd be like, Bird, Magic, you know, all
yeah,
the
yeah.
names. So we always enjoy it when there's a completely obscure team. So Fox, whose executives who are probably out on the ledge right now, worried about a Cleveland-Colorado series.
Tulowitzki! Peralta!
Matsui! Francis! It's the World Series on Fox.
Bird, Fog. You know when it started?
Blake.
I know when it started. It started in I think it started in 91 when it was the Bulls and the Lakers.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And it was
like Jordan.
It was
Magic.
NBC. It was their first year, and they were the first network that really promoted it with the one star on each team.
That's right.
And they did the Magic, Jordan. It's the Bulls and the Lakers.
We've actually spent time trying to find out what the most obscure championship series possible that would have just, like, if the Columbus Blue Jackets were ever involved in the Stanley Cup, you know.
It was last year. It would have been Anaheim against whoever lost in the other conference.
Whoever was in the Stanley Cup last year.
It was
year.
Like Columbus against Anaheim was the most obscure. Wasn't Edmonton involved, though?
They might have been. Was it Anaheim against Edmonton?
I think that happened.
Yeah, that actually did happen, and nobody could name any player on either team.
Fortunately, nobody could find the channel that it was showing on, so it didn't matter.
That's right.
But, yeah, I think Cleveland, Colorado.
It's going to be up there.
Well, Cleveland, Florida was the lowest market series that I can remember, but at least that Florida team had like some veterans on it that people knew.
Right, because they just went out and bought a bunch of guys, exactly.
Yeah, this Colorado team basically has Todd Helton. And I think people have heard of Matt Holliday for fantasy purposes, but I guarantee you the average baseball fan could not pick him out of a police lineup.
And by no means, no. And no. Nobody knows what Jeff Francis, who's their best pitcher, looks like.
No.
And nobody can name another pitcher on Colorado after Jeff Francis. I know
Manny
I can.
Manny Corpus.
That's right.
I actually, you know, if the Red Sox do lose to this Indians team, and I think they're going to, I do like this Indians team. Like, it's one of those teams that I wouldn't have – you know, I'll be bummed out that we lost, but I do feel like the better team will probably have won, even though they have Joe Borowski as their closer.
And their fans deserve it. They haven't won a World Series since 1948. I mean, you know, if they do succeed in going through the Yankees and the Red Sox, they've earned it, you know. They've beaten $500 million in payroll to get there, so.
When they watch the games at home, do you think they wave the towels?
Well, if you go to the game and you got the towel, I'm sure you bring it home with you and, you know, use it for luck at home, sure.
But what if I'm home and I'm an Indian fan and I haven't been to a game? Do I get a white towel from the cabinet and do I wave that?
What happens in the off season? Do you use it to like dry your dishes or do you like just put it aside till next season?
I think you throw it out.
You do? You don't keep it?
All right, Johnny, we're going to let you go.
All right.
I'll call you next week for
the final wrap up for the World Series preview.
Well, I think we're going to come up with excuses to call you every week. I don't know
Excellent.
What they'll be about.
Keep my five fans across the country happy. That's good.
Yeah. All right, go Red Sox.
Go Indians.
Talk to you later.
All right, take care.
All right, now it's time to do the Week 7 Lines with Cousin Sal. This is a segment where we take the NFL lines. He makes his picks of what the lines will be on his own. We trust him. We have the honor system. Then he calls me, and he reads me the matchups, and I try to guess the lines, and we see which one is closer. Now, Sal, no jokes about Joe Theismann today, please.
You know, I was just going to say thanks for having me because I read a few articles that said I was banned from the podcast.
No.
You took a good chance having me on. But, yeah, you got it. No jokes about Joe.
No jokes about Joe. Unfortunately, our cousin is in hot waters with the worldwide leader right now. But anyway, first of all, we're recording this on Thursday afternoon. So how are you feeling about the Red Sox-Indians tonight?
I feel great because it doesn't matter to me who wins. But
which way are you leaning?
I really kind of feel like the Indians have to win tonight. I know up 3-1 is a huge advantage, but I don't think they have a chance. It sounds silly, but if they lose tonight to close the Red Sox out in Boston.
Yeah, obviously I haven't seen Dice K pitch lately.
it'll be him, it'll be Lester, it'll be everyone in that game 7, right?
That's a pretty good point.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good point. Hey, you know, I haven't been doing well with guessing the lines this year.
Yeah.
So I went back to the drawing board and I realized that when we do this, normally when we would do it on the phone without the podcast, I would take longer to think about the lines. But on the podcast, I feel an obligation to make a quick guess. And I just feel like I've been selling my fans short.
All right. Well, yeah, take 3-4 minutes per game.
No. I have a better idea. I wrote down all the matchups from USA Today without looking at the lines.
Okay.
I studied the matchups, and I thought about them before.
So
I still don't know what the lines are, but I feel
like... Now,
is
there a podcast for that, too, where you look at the lines and think about it?
No, we didn't. It would have just been dead silence.
All right. The first game involves, we'll make it your Patriots, and they travel to Miami.
Right, and Miami threw the white flag this week, which was nice. Nice timing.
Yeah, well, with Chris Chambers, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that's throwing the white flag when you trade your one good offensive player.
I think so. Well, at this point, you just want to get a high draft pick, right? So you want to get rid of all your good players.
Smart move. I don't understand why football teams don't do that more often.
Yeah.
Like if you're obviously no man's land, you should just go in the other direction.
Right.
Well, I thought about this one, and as much as Tom Brady has struggled in Miami in the past, I do not see them struggling this year. I'm going to say Pats by 14.
All right. Well, I said 16, and it opened at 16.5, and in most places it's 17.5 right now.
Holy mackerel. I didn't want to go higher than 14 because I never remembered – a road team being favored by more than 2 touchdowns. Before.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was like 16 for Buffalo and Cleveland, right? I mean, they just don't make it higher or lower than that for this team anymore.
I guess. So the tax now is a touchdown for the Pats.
That's a lot.
And you know what? They could have made that line 20, and I still would take the Pats.
Well, it's 6-0 versus 0-6, so why not make it 20? And like you said, one of the teams has given up. But
wait a second. How high would they have had to make that line for you to take the Dolphins in that game?
I don't know. I really
27.
Here's the only thing I'll say, and this is a dumb thing, but historically, the Dolphins show up against the undefeated. I don't know what would have to happen for the score to be 30-16, but that's the best they're going to do, the Dolphins, in this game, right?
Yeah. Well, Brady really does. It's been a house of horrors for them. And, you know, this is his best chance ever to snap it, but we'll see. All right, what's next?
All right, Tampa Bay at Detroit.
Tampa Bay at Detroit. I don't know what to make of either of these teams. Yeah. I went with the pick 'em.
Well, I thought Detroit would be favored by 3 at home, and it's 2. So I guess I won that one, too.
Detroit favored by 2.
Detroit favored by 2 over Tampa Bay.
That's...
I don't know. I feel like we haven't seen enough of Detroit. They win, then they get blown out by Philly, then they go on a bye.
Well, here's the weird thing. Wouldn't you say Tampa Bay is like either the 3rd or the 4th best team in the NFC right now?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely
so
right now.
They can't even be favored against a Detroit team that's below average.
Vegas doesn't trust them at all, even though they have 4 wins.
Yeah.
But all right, next game is San Fran at the Giants.
I think the Niners stink. And actually, this Giants team, I don't know what happened, but they've turned it around.
I hate that they're good again. I mean, they're going to win 6 in a row, right? They're 4-2.
Yeah.
They'll beat this Niners team. Then I think they go to Miami next week.
They look good. And I don't think anybody saw, like, why this season for Plax?
Yeah.
Why this season over the last 4 seasons for him to emerge?
Has he grown like 4 inches? It looks like he's just way taller than any cornerback, D'Angelo Hall or whoever will match against him.
It's nuts. I'm going to say Giants by 8.5.
All right, that's a better guess than me. I said 6.5, and it's 9.
Oh.
9 points.
I won one.
Yeah. I mean, this will be interesting because the Giants are short week, and the Niners had a bye, but, well, I don't know. We'll see how that theory holds.
I don't think the Giants were really worn out after that Falcons game.
You might be right.
I don't think there's a lot of guys like with ice, covered in ice after the game.
Arizona at Washington.
Who's playing QB for Arizona? Do we know?
Warner says he's going to try to play, but right now I don't think he is. So.
Poor Warner.
Tay is in there, yeah.
Right when Warner, like, you know, things are turning, everybody's talking about him, it's such a great story, and then he gets hurt.
Yeah, I know. I think he'll be back. Right now, Wiz Hasselbeck's boy is the backup, though.
Oh.
She followed him to Arizona. How that guy's clinging to an NFL career is beyond me.
He's always available somehow.
Yeah.
What does he do? Does he just work out? It's a weird thing. I'm going to say Redskins by 7.5.
That's exactly what I said, and it opened at 7.5, but it's 9 now.
Wow.
Which makes me think Warner isn't starting. I don't know.
Hmm.
That game's a mess.
I think that's a potential trap game for the Skins because they have the Pats next week.
Yeah. These are high spreads, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Atlanta at New Orleans.
Is Atlanta the worst team in the league?
I think so. Like, you know, before last week they had defensive touchdowns, which kind of made them look better than they were in the two previous games. So, God, they are bad to watch. But watch, this is where we all believe the Saints are back, and they get tripped up by the lousy Saints, the Falcons.
I think Miami's worse. I think Atlanta's second worst. And I agree with you on the Saints thing, because when I was looking at this, I was thinking, this is a classic game where everybody teases the Saints, and they think they're back, and then somehow Byron Leftwich throws for 350 yards.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Saints by 7.
I said 7 also. It's 8. It's gone up to 8, so...
Still a teaser, though. I'm going to recommend to the kids out there, the fledgling gamblers, not to throw them in a tease.
Stay away. Watch them one more week. We've seen them lose for 4 weeks. Yeah.
Let's see the Saints do it twice.
Yep. Baltimore at Buffalo. Is this the worst batch of quarterbacks we've seen in a while? This is going to be Bowler against Edwards, and like Rete is out there.
Vinny? How about Vinny?
Testaverde,
half the league.
Tavares Jackson, Cleo Lemon, Heward, Leftwich. Like about a third of the quarterbacks are garbage this year.
I would say half. I'd throw in Brian Greasy, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could throw in, like, Greasy and Cutler and Pennington and Bolger. At least they're bigger names, but they still can't complete a pass. I don't know.
I really thought that with the football camps and stuff that quarterbacks would get better as the years evolve, not worse.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. I actually like the Bills in this game, and I like their team. I could see them becoming like a second-half cover team, but I'm going to say Ravens by 3.5.
Yeah, you're closer. I said 5 for some reason, but it's 3. So you're right. It's a field goal game. I like Buffalo at home there, too.
Yeah. They're a nice home team. They always seem to, like, at least cover or have a close game.
By the way, one quick thing about Jimmy, and it's not controversial at all. You know how much I wanted to go to that Cowboys-Bills game. We had a choice of Monday night games. And he's like, no, I don't know if I want to go to Buffalo. Atlanta, we'll go to Atlanta and follow.
Right.
All right. So Buffalo-Dallas is an instant classic. I'm already biting my lip. We're going to New York-Atlanta. They tell him no Vic jokes off the bat, so that stinks. And we get there Sunday night, and Jimmy has a craving for chicken wings in Atlanta. I think this completes a slap in the face for this Cowboys thing. We could have been in Buffalo, the number one chicken wing city in the world, and here we are eating chicken wings in Atlanta, not catfish, not grits. Unbelievable.
Well, I think the weird thing about that decision by our cousin was that you should want to go to Buffalo and see a game there. Like, that's one of, like, the cool NFL cities that if you have a dumb chance to go there for whatever reason, you'd want to see a Buffalo game.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go to Atlanta.
2 in the morning. We sleep till 4 in the afternoon. They rush us to the stadium. Doesn't matter what city we're in.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I think you might need to start hanging out with Craig Ferguson.
he's definitely safer. Tennessee at Houston.
I thought this was the toughest one to pick on the board.
Yeah.
I had a 6-point swing for where I thought this could go. I thought this was tough. I'm going to say Titans by 1.
Wow, that's a good call. That's what it was. Titans by 1. I thought Houston by 2, but Titans by 1, and that's not even, I guess Vince Young is playing, right?
See, my new preparation system, you're in trouble.
I know,
you're
going to
be paying for the Super Bowl tickets.
It's 5-4, you.
All right.
All right, Casey at Oakland.
Wait, is Vince Young playing in that game or not?
I think right now they say he is, but.
Casey at Oakland. I thought this was tough, too.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I watched a lot of that Bengals-Chiefs game for, you could probably guess why I watched it.
You're a big Herm Edwards fan, I know.
Yeah, let's just say I had some vested interest in that game. and I thought the Chiefs looked pretty good. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. I thought they were going to be terrible.
Herm Edwards, he's making us all look bad now. But.
Maybe he used Hard Knocks. That's an interesting theory. Maybe he used Hard Knocks. He tried to appear intentionally incompetent so everybody would
understand. He hustled the fans, didn't he? Yeah.
I got to work that into a column. I'm going to say Raiders by 1.
No, I hit this exact. It's Raiders by 3. They're giving a whole field goal at home.
Wow. So they're saying that the Raiders are as good as the Chiefs.
Yeah. I mean, you can't just go into McAfee Coliseum and beat up on the silver and black. It doesn't happen. Whether you're Herm Edwards or any other great mind.
Do you think the Raiders are as good as the Chiefs?
I like the Raiders. I'm doubling on our picks league there on the Raiders.
Really? What have you seen from the Raiders that makes you like them?
Weird feeling about it, and I swear Casey is not going to be over 500 this year, and this would put him over. So.
Well, they're probably due for one of those crippling injuries. They usually get those right.
Oh
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jets at Cincinnati.
I think the Jets are the third worst team in the league.
Well, that's a compliment to them. They couldn't take that as an insult.
How about third down on the 5-yard line, third and a foot, QB sneak with Pennington, who might be the least athletic quarterback in the league, followed by a lob pass in the end zone.
So bad.
Really bad. And the Bengals are just as terrible.
Let me ask you, I know, we have this fake website we go to that lists different propositions if gambling were real or were allowed. And one of them has the next coach to be fired, and there's a list of 12 coaches, and that none of the names is Marvin Lewis.
You know, I wrote about this last week, and the list was only 8, and he wasn't on that list either.
Yeah, now it's like 12 or 13.
I guess, like, what I found out was I guess him and Andy Reid are both, like, in so tight with the fans and the ownership that it would be impossible for them to get fired this year.
But Lovie Smith is second in the odds, like 5-1.
Yeah, that was weird.
Like, all right, Linehan, fine, whatever, but I don't know, man. They got a different player arrested every other day, and they have one win.
I would say Linehan would be the favorite, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's looking like that.
I'm going to say Bengals by 5.5 over the Jets.
All right. We both get it because I said 6.5, and it's 6. So we're both a half point off there.
I like the Jets. I don't think the Bengals should be favored by that many over anybody. They can't block. I don't know if you watched any of that game, but they really had trouble against the Chiefs defense, that's not like exactly the 85 Bears.
Yeah, I'm taking the Jets too. Yeah. But one of this team's seasons is over Sunday night, but
yes,
probably both right now. But anyway, right. St. Louis at Seattle.
Well, I continue to hate the Seahawks. What a spineless group of... I placed my faith in them. I thought they were going to win the NFC, and they're just terrible.
But they'll probably win the West, right, still?
Yeah, with like a 7-9 record.
Yeah, they're 3-3. Arizona has problems.
Gus Frat was really a sight to behold last week in Baltimore with those five interceptions.
Well,
he's
now
really
Bulger's
terrible.
Back. He's down to four broken ribs, so he thinks he's gonna stick it out. And
yeah, I don't know if Bulger helps or hurts the line, but I'm going to go with Seahawks by 10.
All right, I'm closer on this one. I said 8.5. It's 8.
Wow.
So.
That's a sad, sad statement on the 2007 yeah. Seahawks.
Yep.
That they can't even be favored by 10 at home.
It's a lousy game. Chicago at Philly.
I struggled with this one. I decided these two teams are dead even. And they're both like about one notch above mediocre. So I'm going to say Eagles by 3.
I said 3.5, and it's 5.
Really?
That seems high, doesn't it?
Yeah. Why are the Eagles good?
I don't know. I mean, the Jets could have won if they were even 3% better. They would have won that game last week, I think. And I don't know, the last Philly home game was when they spanked Detroit. That might be the only thing they're looking at, but that's a high line.
Wow. I like the underdogs this week. I have only a couple favorites that we've gone through so far that seem appetizing.
Yeah.
I don't get that at all.
Minnesota, Dallas. The tough one.
Are you scared? How scale of 1 to 10? How scared of Adrian Peterson?
I am actually. I mean, I have to think the Bears' defense is at least better than ours, and he ran all over them.
And plus, you're not going to run on the Vikings, so you're going to have to win with your throwing game.
Yeah, which makes me think this line is a little high, but I'll let you guess it.
Well, I had -8.
That's what I had, and it's 9.5.
That's too high.
It's way too high, right?
Yeah,
the only thing I'll
high.
Say is the Cowboys have a bye week next week, so if they take care of business, they're, you know, they can rest up. But that's high. I don't know.
That's too high because Peterson, that was just a sight to behold in that game.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. It was like watching a high school game.
Yeah, and I don't know if we're emotionally recovered from the Patriots, the whipping you put on us.
Well, we're going to talk about that at the end of this. What is the last game?
There's a Sunday night game, Pittsburgh at Denver.
I think Denver's done. I think they got a fork in them. Then they lost Tom Nalen, which is always like when a team is falling apart and they lose their center, that always pushes it over the top.
Yeah.
I got to say Steelers by 6.
Wow. It's 3.5. I said 3.
Wow. That's crazy.
Right. Well, we know who
I
you're
think the
going
Broncos
with
are terrible.
We know who you're going with.
Well, don't
I'm giving
you think
the Broncos
this...
one more chance to keep this close.
You think at this point you just take all the underdogs, the Patriots, the Colts, and the Steelers every week, and maybe the Cowboys, and you're going to go 60%?
Yeah. No, the Steelers are favored.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying every week you take the Pats, Colts, Steelers,
I got you.
The Cowboys, and then every underdog.
Yeah, why not? Cowboys, Indians, whoever.
I'm telling you, I think the Broncos are bad. I think they're a top five worst team.
Well,
and I don't think they have a home field advantage.
Out. Nothing happened. No one breaks out on that team. It used to be that whatever running back they put in there would set the place on fire, whatever.
Yeah.
India, Jacksonville, Monday night.
Great game. Really nice game.
I love it. Let me ask you this. Are you rooting for the Colts in a weird way?
I actually am because I want the Pats to go 16-0, and the only way it's going to happen is if the Colts are like 14-1 on that last week with their only loss
coming
to us.
Right. Well, when do they meet up? Meet not week 9?
Week 9. And if that's the only time the Colts lose, then the Pats will have to continue to try at least through week 15.
Yeah.
Up through week 16.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people like the Jags in this game.
I know they do. Here's the one thing I'll say. The Colts are fresh. They had a week off. And they lost 44-17 in Jacksonville last year. Like, the Jags aren't going to sneak up on them. So.
On the other hand, though, football seems to be the only sport where if a team beats the other team a couple times, the team actually believes they can continue to beat the team.
They kind of own them.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's like, hey, oh, we know we can do well against this team.
Yeah.
I think this is a really tough game. I really do. Wait, is it? It's in Jacksonville, right?
In Jacksonville.
I'm going to say Colts by three.
All right, you got it exactly. I said 3.5. And, yeah, I just think we're in this. I don't know. I'm going to take the Colts when they're given 3. Maybe if they're playing the Patriots, I wouldn't. But otherwise, I go with them. I don't know.
Well, the other thing about the Colts is at night, they're usually pretty reliable.
Yeah.
Like, if they show up for the night games.
Right.
And if this was like a Sunday 1 o'clock game, I might think the Jags had a better chance. But I don't know.
Yep.
It's one of those, you talk yourself into the Jags, and then the game starts, and Manning hits Wayne for a 40-yarder, and you
feel
Dallas
like Clark's in, and it's all catch-up. But
all right, let's quickly
talk. I won 10-8, including the ties, so.
You beat me.
I did beat you, but now I'm thinking, why do I want to go to the Super Bowl anyway to watch your team? Maybe we should change to the prize at the end.
I think I would like to pay for your ticket and then console you after the game, after we beat you.
Listen, you can say what you want, but the Cowboys have just as good a chance, I'm going to say, of making the Super Bowl as the Patriots.
Yeah, I think that's a I don't think, unless there's an injury, I think the Patriots are in.
They're going to make it, but I don't think we have as many roadblocks. I think you will make it, but I'm happy about our chances to get there.
I 48 points, whatever. We ran it up at the end, but we did have 41 points with our third string running back.
Yeah.
That part was amazing to me. Like, we really had no running game, and it didn't matter. It never affected anything about the game.
Yeah. Well, you're throwing all over us. It didn't matter.
When the key was the fourth and one.
The Barber fourth and one that
right.
got held, came back for holding. That just killed us. We were down 7 at that point.
Well, you know what, though? The all the penalties, that was like a classic Wade Phillips from the old Wade Phillips teams.
Yeah.
Like, those shaky coaches, they have those 12, 13 penalty games in these big games, and it just kills you.
I saw the shaky referees, but I guess I could see what you're saying, yeah.
Oh, come on.
My wife asked me the other day, listen, and this is serious, I'm not kidding. Like, she asked me if the Cowboys won, which, you know, she's so in tune with my likes. I said no. She said, who'd they lose? I said, the Patriots. And she said, they cheated, didn't they? I said, yes, they did. She's like, why are they still out to play if they cheated? I didn't know how to answer her, Bill.
That
hurts. What do I say to that? I have no idea what to say.
That hurts. You know, it's jokes like that. That's why the Patriots ram it home with 19 seconds left with our four-string running back.
Well,
they're tired of the jokes.
Listen, no taunting from you when you're one Kenny Lofton swinging the bat away from being eliminated.
Listen, I have done no taunting with the Pats.
I really haven't.
I've graciously enjoyed this 6-0 streak.
You were good not to show up. Daniel and Hench, on the other hand, I threatened to punch Daniel in the face. He's a big, big Patriots fan. And I said, it's not going to hurt that much because I'm only going to hit you once for every player you know.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we could check your picks for this week on JimmyKimmelLive.net.
Yeah.
Correct?
Check out the net.
Yeah, how are you doing on those?
All over.
How are you doing on those?
I didn't do well last week, but anyway, absolutely free if I go under 500 this week.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, Sal Iacono. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.